Hello and welcome to the CISS podcast. This is the Point series by China Forum. In this series, we will have one-on-one discussions with top-level officials, diplomats, well-known entrepreneurs, academics, and media experts from both China and abroad to hear their fresh insights on important global issues.
Hello and welcome to the CISS podcast, The Point Series. I'm Xiao Qian with China Forum, CISS Tsinghua University. The South China Sea Arbitration Award, issued 8 years ago in 2016, probably contributed the most to increasing tension in the South China Sea in recent years. Today's program will explore the legal issues of the South China Sea dispute between China and the Philippines, analyze the illegality and invalidity of the award so as to see why China neither accepts nor participates in the arbitration, nor does it accept or recognize the so-called award. Our guest speaker today is Dr. Yan Yan, Director of Research Center for Oceans Law and Policy, National Institute for South China Sea Studies. Please stay tuned.
Hello, everyone. This is Yan Yan of National Institute for South China Sea Studies. Today, I want to share with you some of my thoughts on the South China Sea issue and the China-Philippines arbitration. On July 12, 2016, the Annex 7 Arbitral Tribunal released the award of the China-Philippines South China Sea arbitration. The award becomes one of the most important sources of tension in the South China Sea ever since. So what exactly is the dispute between China and the Philippines? What the arbitration is? Whether the tribunal has jurisdiction over the case? What is China's position and policy? And what is the way forward? Let's explore these questions one by one. First of all, what is the South China Sea dispute between China and the Philippines? China and the Philippines are South China Sea neighbors for generations. There had been no disputes between the two states until the 1970s, when the Philippines started to invade and illegally occupy some islands and reefs and features of China's Nansha Chundao, the Spratlys, and created this sovereignty dispute. Also, with the development of international law of the sea, a maritime delimitation dispute arose between the two states regarding certain maritime spaces in the South China Sea. Thus, the dispute is twofold: territorial sovereignty and maritime delimitation. In the past decades, China and the Philippines hold multiple rounds of consultation on the proper management of disputes at sea and reach consensus on resolving through negotiation and consultation. The two countries have also made solemn commitments to settling relevant disputes through negotiation and consultation in the 2002 Declaration on the Conduct of Parties in the South China Sea, often called the DOC. The second question is, what is the South China Sea arbitration about? On January 22, 2013, the Philippines initiated arbitral proceedings against China under Annex 7 to the UN Convention on the Law of the Sea, the UNCLOS. China, within a month, has made clear that it will not participate in the arbitration, and the rejection is solidly based on international law. The Philippines' claims in the arbitration includes China's claim to entitlements of 200 nautical miles based on certain rocks, low tide elevations, and submerged features in the South China Sea is inconsistent with the UNCLOS. And China's assertion of the historic rights within the dotted line is also inconsistent with the UNCLOS. And China's assertion and exercise of rights have unlawfully interfered with the sovereign rights, jurisdiction, and rights and freedom of navigation that the Philippines enjoys and exercises under the convention. So the third question is, does the tribunal have jurisdiction over the case? As I mentioned at the very beginning, China-Philippines dispute in the South China Sea boils down to the dispute over territorial sovereignty and maritime delimitation, which involve historical, legal, geopolitical, and other factors. So the dispute is not about interpretation and application of certain clauses of the 1982 UNCLOS. Therefore, the arbitral tribunal has no jurisdiction over the case. In fact, as early as August 25, 2006, the Chinese government submitted a written statement to the Secretary of the UN, making it very clear that the dispute concerning maritime delimitation and military activities did not accept the international jurisprudence or arbitration as enshrined by Section 2 of Part 15 of the UNCLOS. This statement was based on Article 298 of the treaty. Knowing that the tribunal has no jurisdiction on disputes concerning sovereignty and maritime delimitation, the Philippines tries to disguise the issue as a dispute over the interpretation and application of the clauses of the UNCLOS in order to drag China into this compulsory arbitration. The fourth question is how to evaluate the award. To legal scholars, the arbitral tribunal had made a series of mistakes regarding jurisdiction, admissibility, and the determination, nature, and actual contents of the dispute. Under the pretext of interpreting and applying the UNCLOS, it has violated the spirits and principles of the UNCLOS and undermined the authority and integrity of the international maritime law system. Let me just give you two examples. In the case, the five arbitrators that eventually constituted the tribunal are from Germany, Poland, France, the Netherlands, and Ghana. None of them is from Asia, while four of them are European Union citizens from civil law countries, and only one from the outside Europe had spent most part of his life in Europe. It is obvious that the composition of the tribunal does not represent a global cross-section of geographical areas, leading forms of civilization or legal and historical perspectives. The second example is the tribunal fails to give proper effect to China's position on the archipelago as a unit for sovereignty and maritime entitlement and delimitation purposes. It erroneously addressed separately the status of the component features of China's Nansha Qundao and Zhongsha Qundao, in effect, dismembering the two archipelagos and fragmenting the territorial and maritime delimitation dispute between China and the Philippines in the South China Sea. In fact, there are numerous examples besides these two. Therefore, to many international law scholars and practitioners, instead of contributing to the UNCLOS and to the development of international law, the South China Sea Arbitration Award undermines the international rule of law. So finally, the fifth question, what is the way forward? It is reported recently that the Philippines is thinking about filing another arbitration with China. I sincerely hope that this is a piece of fake news, since the Philippines really needs to understand that the UNCLOS cannot solve the fundamental issue between the two countries, which is the dispute of territorial sovereignty and maritime delimitation. The issue of maritime delimitation and territorial sovereignty in the South China Sea should be settled equitably through negotiation and consultation with countries directly involved. Also, pending the final settlement of the dispute, all relevant parties must exercise self-restraint in the conduct of activities that may complicate or escalate disputes and affect peace and stability, as listed in Article 5 of the 2002 DOC. Peace and stability in the South China Sea is vital to the security, development, and prosperity of the countries and the well-being of the people in the region. China will continue to make unremitting efforts to achieve this goal, and I sincerely hope that the Philippines will do the same thing. Thank you.
That was Dr. Yan Yan sharing her expertise on the so-called award and the legal aspects of the South China Sea issue. It's our hope that Dr. Yan Yan's observations will help our audiences better understand the case and why it is null and void, and also think about how the South China Sea issue can be settled peacefully in the future. Thank you for listening, and please stay tuned for more of the Point series.